I'd like to welcome next to the podium our Dean of the Faculty of Humanities, Dr. Douglas Neal.
Thank you, and greetings everyone. On behalf of the Faculty of Humanities, I extend a warm welcome to all of you on this rather quiet reading week here at Brock University, and a special welcome to those of you who are first-time visitors to Brock. I want to begin, as David did, by recognizing Christina and Tracy for the work that they have put into organizing today's colloquium, and in particular for assembling a program, and how appropriate for February 20th, a program that is both local and global at the same time. Would you join me in thanking Christina and Tracy for their work today? What a difficult and timely topic on our agenda today. Increasingly, in recent years, the Academy has taken up the subject of testimony in its historical, psychoanalytic, and arguably, above all, forensic contexts. Out of my own experience, I think of Yale, where I once did a postdoc, and the thousands of videotaped interviews in its video archive for Holocaust testimonies. But what, or who, is the subject of testimony? In classical rhetoric, there is always a time for testimony. In its judicial or forensic form, testimony refers to past events, to what has happened. And on that basis, it forms part of a rhetorical argument to accuse or defend. But in another, more deliberative form, through its logos, ethos, pathos of persuasion, it has the power to set future courses of events, post-events, in motion. Testimony can be a talking cure, but it is a cure that struggles to confront what Freud calls considerations of representability. So quickly, in testimony, we reach the limits of representation, of what is often not fit to be represented, to be narrated, or remembered, or constructed, or reconstructed. The state, the individual, the body, the text, these are not separate discursive spaces, but intertextual webs of signification. We know that witness and martyr and theory are all related linguistically, if not always experientially. My own approach to witness and testimony emerges, perhaps strangely, from 18th century romantic theories of landscape, as much later represented in Robert Frost's 1942 volume, A Witness Tree. In Romanticism, the idea of a personal human witnessing, Wordsworth in the French Revolution, or Frost in the middle of World War II, is often subsumed under a larger surveillance, sub specie naturae, a capital N nature, sometimes silent, sometimes haunting us with utterance, stands as witness to human history, which is to say, to human violence, often violence directed against nature itself. After such witnessing, to invoke Eliot, what forgiveness? Or as Frost would say, never again would birdsong be the same. What a complex topic, what a rich array of speakers and papers today. Here we go. Thank you.